If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to Komando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
All right, I always like to start with something interesting, and this definitely falls into that category because pretty soon, you can have up to 5 Facebook accounts tied to your one profile. They never let this happen before. So why is Facebook making this change? Well, the bottom line is that things are not going well over at Facebook. Well, now known as Meta. The stock price is the lowest since 2019. Wall Street analysts are saying that the revenue model, the business model for Facebook is just not substantial. It's just not going to be working long term. And so Facebook has found a new way to add more so-called profiles because people are leaving in droves. So this will make it almost impossible to say how many accounts are really truly over at Facebook. So Mark, I hope you're listening to the Kim Komando Show because we're not all just dumb Zuckerbergs. And on that happy note, welcome to the nation's largest show about all things digital, your most trusted source. It's called the Kim Komando Show because, after all, I'm America's beloved digital goddess, Kim Komando, here with you once again. And you know the drill. You can find us on over 420 top stations throughout the United States. We're streaming in your favorite radio app. Just search for my last name, Komando. And you can also find us as a podcast, as a webcast, all 3 months of worth of archives and all 3 hours. And that's over at GetKim.com. A free 30-day trial, by the way, over at GetKim.com. And a special thank you goes out to all of our listeners on the American Forces Network Radio. I love you guys and gals. We're serving more than 375,000 American servicemen and women in, 175 countries and 200 ships at sea get the Kim Komando Show. And if you're just too shy to come on a national radio show and a big-time podcast, I get that. You can drop me your questions via email on our website. Just head to Komando.com. And in the top right-hand corner, there's a link that says email Kim. Just fill out the form. And I'm the only one that reads your emails, by the way. All right. Every single day, I probably look at 30 different websites. And I read all the press releases that get sent to me. People will also send me their white papers, industry insiders. I see TED Talks before they actually go out to the public. And I do this so that I'm up to date on all things digital. And this is part of the show where I like to pass along the top 5 things that are happening in tech news and what's happening around the world. And now that shareholders have approved Elon Musk's $43 billion Twitter purchase, $43 billion, wow, I did some research to get an idea. Based on Elon Musk's own words, what this new Twitter might even look like. Okay, right up front, this is only my opinion. I've been reading Elon Musk's statements, and he's made a lot of them. But first, I think a major big-time house cleaning is coming. The entire board of directors will be replaced by new members that are loyal to Musk, and expect a lot of layoffs because a lot of Twitter employees, they're not happy that Musk is taking over. And Wall Street investors, they agree that Twitter staff is anything but stellar. Next up, these spam accounts. By the millions, they're going to be found out, they're going to be closed, and then lifetime bans imposed on users who did not advocate violence but were banned due to their political views are going to be lifted. And this includes the politicos like Mike Lindell, you know him, the pillow guy, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, hundreds of others, and all just in time for the elections. And Musk wants to develop the Everything app that he was going to call X. And Twitter can actually be the foundation of it. These are these super apps. It's a one-stop shop type of all apps. I mean, think of the Chinese app WeChat. It's the biggest super app in the world. They have over 1 billion users. So when you're using WeChat, you can do everything. You don't open separate apps, for example, to get an Uber or message people or pay for things online or get into your banking. You can play games, you can post videos, you can do shopping, and you can do anything that you would do in all these different apps, but it's just in one super app. I know this was just a lot of information about Elon Musk and Twitter, but I sure hope you followed all of that. All right, number two on our list of five things that you need to know that's happening in tech is the town that lost no electricity or internet during Hurricane Ian. Come with me to Babcock Ranch. This is fascinating. 12 miles north of Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Just north of where the Hurricane Ian just blew through with its devastating force. But here at Babcock Ranch, it's different. It's an incredible community that's based on science and technology. So first of all the buildings and houses, they're all powered by solar. In the community, only electric cars are allowed. Kids actually, they don't go on buses. They have to ride their bikes to school. They call it the blueprint for the hometown of tomorrow. And there's a solar array run by Florida Power and Light made up of 700,000 individual panels that keep the electricity flowing to this town of 2,000 homes. Now, this is a different community. It took a lot into consideration. For example, homes are built a minimum 25 feet above sea level. Landscapes are planned to control floods. Power and internet lines, they are all underground. And residents are built to withstand 145 mile per hour winds. Even park benches and streetlights, they can just sit there when there's a Cat 3 storm blowing in. Well, 90% of Charlotte County had no electricity after the hurricane hit. But this is what's fascinating to me. No electricity and no internet was lost in Babcock Ranch. Isn't that something? Because they planned this whole community in the event of a hurricane. A local guy by the name of Anthony Grant told CNN the only damage from Hurricane Ian that he could see were just a few shingles blown off of roofs and maybe a few uprooted trees. Isn't that amazing? All right, number three on our list of five things you need to know is scammers just have to scam. You have to be very careful the next time you see any login for Windows or Chrome that will pop up on your desktop. Scammers and hackers have finally figured out a way how to duplicate the standard login screen. So it looks like you're about to log into an app, and if you fall for this ploy, okay, you just gave away your login credentials, your passwords, and your username. But it's always been pretty difficult to duplicate this login screen, but they've actually done it. And there's no web address, obviously, to check to see if it's a scam. Now, the good news in all this is that this tactic is not easy to pull off. The would-be hacker actually has to have some sort of control over your computer. But if you logged into your computer or an app and then suddenly see another login box ask you to do it again, I want you to X out of that and check your system for any new malware. Speaking of logins, did you hear about the guy who wrote the song Danger Zone? He had his identity stolen online. Yeah, they got all his Kenny logins. I love it. I know it. Number four on our list, be careful if you own these cars. It's a social media challenge. I mentioned this before, that there are all these videos up on TikTok and YouTube. And usually at the end of the videos, it's a challenge to go steal these cars and then maybe write a song, do a dance, or just say how much fun it was to steal the car. Now, these cars are stolen between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. And the cars are not really used for anything other than just joyriding around. So the cars that are being stolen are primarily Kia and Hyundais. The Kias are between the years 2011 and 2021. The Hyundais are between 2016 and 2021. And the cars just basically don't have any advanced tech to prevent them from being stolen. So if you have a Kia or Hyundai, make sure that you keep it parked in the garage. But some good news as an update, Hyundai now has an electronic security system for sale that targets this particular issue. So if you do have a Hyundai between the years 2016 and 2021, you should contact your local dealer. And once you get that, another thing happens. You have better hand-eye coordination. Get it? Hyundai? Hand-eye? Oh, I know. If you have to explain it, it just wasn't that funny. I'm so sorry. All right, but last on our list, coming in at number five, meet the world's oldest webcam. Here's a little fun fact. The world's oldest webcam is still in operation. It's the FogCam, and it's at San Francisco State University. But it wasn't the first webcam. This is a little trick question. The first one was the Trojan Room Coffee Pot Cam. It was at the University of Cambridge. And it is, in fact, the oldest webcam, but it's not operational anymore. The Coffee Pot Cam was put online because the geeks of the week in the computer lab, they didn't want to get off their chair to go see if there was coffee in the pot down the hall. So they actually put a webcam on it. Oh, yeah, there's coffee, so I guess I could get up. But back to the Fog Cam. It came to life in 1994. It's a Logitech camera on the second floor of the university's business building. It shows the campus view and, well, it's called the Fog Cam. It shows the fog. So when it was announced a few years ago that the fog cam would be turned off after 25 years, everybody was like, what? No, you can't turn off the fog cam. So then there was this whole uprooting and this whole upheaval, and there was hashtag save the fog cam, and people were giving donations. The guy who created the fog cam, he's like, okay, you guys and gals have it. So if this question ever comes up on Jeopardy, what is the oldest webcam still in operation? Still in operation. Now you know the answer. It's the fog cam. I mean, I came pretty close to actually catching a handful of fog once when I was in San Francisco, but I missed. Thank you. All right, coming up in this hour, so many fun things to pass along, like how you can use your phone to hang pictures the right way. You know, when you want to hang up, say, 6 pictures or 5 pictures in a row or in a certain pattern, you're trying to figure it out with a pen and a ruler, just forget that. Just use your phone. Oh, we're also going to talk about how you can make money renting your car. And our digital privacy tip, how you can stop websites from tracking you with these special URLs. And then later on, when I travel, there's a special thing that I do with my laptop just in case somebody actually enters the room when I'm not there. I'm going to pass that along. And of course, we have all of your fantastic phone calls here on the Kim Komando Show.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements, but your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before, and your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit cisecurity.org to play your part.
Hey, our T-Mobile Unlimited listener line is now open at 1-888-825-5254 is the way to join us. And what do you do when something just doesn't work? Like most people, you probably just Google it. Well, far too often, you know what that is. It's just a rabbit hole. It's just a complete waste of time. And finding tech support online, it's totally risky. You don't want to do that. So that's why I partnered with top tech experts to give you 24/7 live support that you can trust. They're going to fix your problem or there's absolutely no charge. It's at getkimshelp.com. So whether it's a problem with your Wi-Fi, your printer, your smartphone, computer, TV, whatever it is, okay, the experts at getkimshelp.com can fix most issues in 10 minutes or less. So sit there. How long have you wasted time trying to get this problem fixed and you're still nowhere from the beginning? It's still there. You still got the problem. You're still dealing with it. Stop that. Go to getkimshelp.com. Once again, that's getkimshelp.com. All right, just a few moments how you can use your phone to hang pictures the easy way. It's a tip you're going to use time and time again. And how about we start this hour with Bill in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hi there, Bill.
Good day. How are you doing today, Kim?
I'm great. Bill, so glad to have you with us. How can I lend a hand?
Well, first off, thank you for taking my call because I'm a big fan of your show, and I love the advice that you give, such a wide variety of topics, which I have one that I haven't heard on your show.
Okay.
And in the wintertime, I have the blessing to portray a beloved Christmas character named of Santa Claus.
Oh, so you're one of Santa's helpers.
I am.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when I am out and about, I often have people come up in a restaurant, on the street or whatever, and want to have a discussion. And it's very magical for myself and hopefully for them.
I'm sure.
And to make it a little bit more magical, I'd like to be able to discreetly start a little Christmas background music.
Well, that's
nice. I don't know if I should be playing it through my phone or if you've got some idea for another type of player, but something discreetly with a short playlist of things that I can I can call upon to enhance the visit.
So, you know, being one of Santa's helpers, you have a direct line to the North Pole. First of all, I want you to make sure that you tell Santa, I've been a very, very good girl this year, okay? I have. I've done nothing but good wonders, and I've ate all my vegetables and everything else. But what is the most common question you get?
Oh, it's most of it is comments, just like what you made about everybody's been good. I very seldom have anybody that fesses up right away that they have maybe strayed a little bit.
Okay, just a little bit. There was that time back in March. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Okay, just that one time. You know, what's really great is that technology has continued to get smaller and smaller, right? And faster and better. And then if you're carrying your phone, what's nice is that you have a Bluetooth connection with that. And so JBL, they've been a maker of speakers for so many years, is that they have a little tiny speaker that you can just hook on your belt and or a belt buckle on your pants, whatever it may be. And then you can hit a button on your phone and you can just have it start playing because it's Bluetooth. So you can put together a playlist. And it also comes with a case if you want it. But, you know, it's pretty small. It has 10 hours of playtime. And it's waterproof and all that other good stuff. And it's got a great speaker. So just be careful with the volume because it might be too loud. So because it's even though it's little, it's pretty mighty. And they're about $60. And what we'll do is we'll send you a link to one so that you can check it out over on Amazon.com, Bill. And can I just hear one ho-ho-ho? How do you sound?
Well, you've said some things that were rather funny earlier, and at that time I was giving a very loud ho-ho-ho. But normally it's just so you don't overpower people, especially on the radio today, it'd be ho-ho-ho.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. It's better than I did. Ho-ho-ho. Okay. Well, you know, Merry Christmas. Tell Santa I said hello. And from all of us at the Kim Komando Show, a very early Merry Christmas. We'll send that link right over to you, Bill, and thank you for your call. All right, when you want to hang a picture, a bunch of pictures, you don't need to grab a level or a calculator. Your phone can do it with you. There's an app called Hang-A-Pic. You just tell the app how many pictures, hooks, dimensions, and then you'll know exactly where to place the nails the first time. Again, the app is called Hang-A-Pic. And don't forget, your iPhone has a level tool. Just open the Measure app. And on Android, open the Google app or your browser and just search for Bubble Level. Again, that app is called Hang-A-Pic. It really is fabulous. Stay right where you are. We have our security tip coming up, as well as more of your great phone calls here on the Kim Komando Show.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements. But your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before, and your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit cisecurity.org to play your part.
All right, before we get to our DIY security tip, and we have a great caller coming up in just a second about how he actually made money. It's really innovative. I just want to tell you real quick, if your car is sitting in your garage or driveway, consider renting it out to tourists or someone who actually needs a car for a side hustle. It's a good way to make extra money without doing anything. I recently rented a car for a few days when I was in Miami getting my eyes checked. And rather than going the traditional route, I used Turo. The car was delivered right to my hotel. It was clean both inside and out. And it was cheaper a day than those big, big company names, the rental car companies. So if you list your car for rent on Turo, you keep anywhere between 60 to 90% of the fees collected, depending upon that whole insurance protection plan that you might select. And then another site that works like Turo is called Getaround. Next up are Uber drivers. They need a fairly recent car. And if you have one that works, hire drivers for you. Your take is 75 to 85% of the car's rental fee. And oh, just one more thing. The cars are often cheaper to rent than these traditional big rental car companies. And this way, when you look at your bill, it doesn't hurt. Ooh. Oh, wow. I'm super excited. I was reading about this gentleman, David Weekly, who, like most of us, got tired of the student loan spam calls. Your car warranty is about to expire. You need a vacation, so you should buy a timeshare. And after receiving a spam text in June, he decided to sue the spammer, and it paid off. And David ended up with a $1,200 check. And joining us here on our special caller line is David Weekly himself to tell us how he did it. Hello there, David.
Hey there.
So how did you do this? Because I know we have, what, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. Is that what you used?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And is it, it can't be easy, right?
Well, it turns out it varies a lot in terms of whether the person is findable, first off, which is only going to be a small fraction of the spam text messages you receive. And then secondly, whether they're likely to respond and be responsive to either a notice or a small claim suit.
And so take us through the process. How did you do it?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, like pretty much anyone with a mobile phone these days, I get a lot of spam text messages. And a lot of these are outright scams or frauds using short links to go and try and take you to phishing websites that try and get you to enter, like,
sure,
your bank credentials or, yeah. Every once in a blue moon, though, you get an actual business that is just choosing a really poor way of advertising its services by spamming people. And in this particular case, this was for an insurance company that included the individual's name, their email address, and their website.
Wow. Okay.
In the spam text message. Because the point of the spam message was to get you to call them and sign up with their insurance.
Got it.
So I was like, okay, let me see what's going on here. So I open up the website and I scroll to the bottom and I see that they're headquartered in California, and I'm in California too.
Okay.
And now the gears start turning. It's like, okay, I have an identified party who definitely broke the TCPA because I have no business relationship with this company or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates, who sent me an unsolicited text message. My phone number is on the federal do not call list, and that's something that I recommend that anyone listening to the show do. It's very easy to go do.
Sure.
Just put your phone number on the federal do not call list. And so I knew this was a willful infringement, and I was able to identify the party. So I'm like, okay, so what do I got to do? What are my options here? So the first thing I did is I live in San Mateo County here in California. I went to the county small claims website, and they made it pretty clear that for their procedure, you first have to send a notice of demand before the courts will do anything. They actually had a very helpful template that
and
downloaded.
That's nice.
And I said, yeah. So yeah, I'm not a lawyer myself, and if we're talking about a sum like on the order of $1,500, as soon as you involve a lawyer, that's going to vanish in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, that's why bother, you know?
It's like hour and a half, 2 hours of counsel, right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to need to self-serve on this and just see if I can play a lawyer on TV, as it were, to see if I can make this happen. So I edited the court's demand letter, and I said, basically, look, my number is on the federal do not call list. You texted it anyhow. We have no business relationship. Damages under the TCPA are $500. It's treble damages if it's a willful violation. And the fact that my number's on the do not call list means that I believe this to be a willful violation. So 3 times 500, you owe me $1,500, dude. I sent it via registered mail. I could see that there was a signature on the other end of it when it was delivered. Still didn't hear anything back. I gave the guy 10 days to go and respond.
That's fair.
And so after 10 days had passed, I went back to the court and filed a small claim suit against this entity for $1,500. And I found a process server that was nearby them that was able to serve them. That cost me about like $90. It was about $30 in court costs to go and file the small claim suit. And about 24 hours after he had gotten served with the suit, that's when I started getting some text messages and calls and emails from this individual. Apparently, the notice of demand was basically ignored, but Once he had a summons to a court case, then he was willing to go in jail.
You know, the little things like that might catch somebody's attention, right? So
yeah, like you've been served with a lawsuit. Like, huh? Maybe I should figure out what's going on here. So he called me, and I actually had some amount of empathy that he was just trying to drum up business. He used a third party broker that did the spamming, and. Yeah, he said, hey, look, is there any way we can come to an arrangement here? I was like, well, look, tell you what, why don't we call it $1,200 versus $1,500 you technically owe me, and I'll also eat all the court costs, the process server, all that. And he said, okay, fine. And about a week later, in the mail, I get a check for $1,200. And I go ahead and drop the case with small claims. But it was that moment when I opened up the letter and, like, there was a check in there for $1,200. I was just like, this is kind of amazing. Somebody spammed me, and I got mad about it, and I did a set of things, and now there's a check. And honestly, in all honesty, there was about 4 hours I spent total.
I was going to ask you how many hours. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, researching this, executing this, you know, going in and sending the note, doing the online filing with the county, doing the work with the process server, and time with him on the phone. And so it's like $1,200, 4 hours. Like, that's not a bad hourly rate.
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, Dave. Now you were lucky though, because you had all the contact information. Because most of the time, it's really hard to. I mean, almost impossible to find out who sends you a spammy text message.
Yeah. So it turns out there's sort of three drop-off points. So I've gotten a chance to talk with some people who are like in this industry. And so first off, yeah, most spam text messages, you're only going to be able to identify the sender at about like 5% of the time. That doesn't actually mean there's nothing you can do. So for instance, a lot of spammers use bit.ly to go and cloak the link they're using. But Bitly and a bunch of these other services are actually pretty responsive to abuse of their services. So you can write into them, say, hey, I got a spam text message that uses this Bitly link, and they'll go and take down the link. And in theory, if they're doing their jobs right, they'll take down the account behind it as well. And so just things like that will take you about 30 seconds to do and increase the friction, just make it more difficult economically for spammers to continue to spam. So like that was the first thing I got lucky on. The second thing I actually found out post hoc I got unlucky on, turns out that for a lot of respondents, once you're able to identify them and you send them a formal notice of demand, they'll get back to you at that point, and they'll be interested in settling because, you know, the legal language is like, this person really is going to take it to trial. Never say, I'm going to call my lawyer, right? No, you present a notice of demand, you present a summons. You actually exercise the law. You don't threaten to do that, right? So for a lot of folks, they will actually settle just on the notice of demand, and that was not enough for this guy. But they were actually willing to go and settle before going to small claims. And apparently what happens for a number of folks is they'll just not show up at small claims. And the good news for you is now you have a summary judgment against them. The bad news is that actually collecting that summary judgment on them can be kind of a pain in the butt. I haven't had to do this, but I've heard stories from people who have. And, you know, in theory, there are things like you can figure out who they bank with and go to the bank with, like, the sheriff and the
That's a lot of work, right?
And then at the point that you're talking about, like, $1,000, like, yeah, maybe not. If it's, like, $50,000, yeah, it's worth your time
exactly.
to go and figure all that out.
I think I would do that for 50 grand. For $1,000, then you're like, well, I don't know. I'm back to minimum wage right now, all the hours that I'm putting into this.
Totally. Yeah, so that's part of the calculus, right? And apparently that's where I got lucky, is that I interacted with somebody who was willing to actually settle and actually pay versus just to ignore the whole thing, which is apparently a reasonable thing for them to do, just given the level of difficulty that you'll have in collecting, even if you win the summary judgment.
Let me ask you, Dave, were you able to have this guy give you the pitch, the insurance pitch, when you at all?
Well, I saw the product. It was on their website. I was in need of that product.
Exactly.
The reason why I'm not actually including the name of the company is because they did settle in good faith, and I figured it wouldn't be nice to go and call them out. Because,
Which, yeah, you know, yeah. and I, you know what, that's very commendable of you, and that's very honorable. And thanks for coming on and telling us the story about how you personally sued a spam texter and you got $1,200. And really, really fascinating story. Thanks again, David, for being here with us. All right. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you look at a URL that you clicked off of another website, it probably is a jumbled mess of letters and numbers and symbols at the end of the URL. And you might be saying, like, what exactly is that doing? Well, these are tracking links, and it might track your full name, your IP address, your computer's MAC address, which websites that you visited before. And it might also just track, like we do, like which article that you actually clicked on to come to our website. And that's the URL. So if you're looking through a newsletter link, the URL will say something like source equals current, which lets us know, like, hey, they clicked on the current newsletter to come to commando.com. But here's the deal, is that if you don't like these tracking URLs, and you don't like them coming not just from us, but from anybody on the internet, is that you can fight back. Firefox does this, and we have the steps over at the website to tell you how to enable this protection. If you want to stick with Chrome or Edge, you can use a browser extension like Clean URLs. It's free, simple to use. You can just click it on, turn it off for URL stripping, and that's the technical term for it. And if you want more information about this, more intel, just head over to the website, commando.com. And once you're there, you want to click that link that says Kim's Show. All right, still to come, we have more of your phone calls, as well as what I do when I stay in a hotel room to see if anybody's sneaking in the room when I'm not there, here on the Kim Commando Show.
All you want is to meet your security and compliance requirements. But your business technology keeps changing. Cyber threats emerge every day. More regulations apply to you now than ever before. And your IT resources remain limited. The Center for Internet Security can help. At CIS, we work to create a safer world for people, businesses, and governments through collaboration and innovation. Using a community-driven consensus process, we work with IT professionals and volunteers around the world to develop and maintain security best practices. These resources save you time, money, and effort wherever you are on your cybersecurity journey. We also work with U.S. state, local, tribal, and territorial government organizations to share information with one another so they're stronger together. Join us today in creating confidence in the connected world. Visit CISecurity.org to play your part.
All right, back to the phones we go with Rodney in Indianapolis. Hello there, Rodney.
Hello, Kim.
Welcome. What's going on?
Well, I am an insurance agent, life and health, and I do mainly Medicare enrollments during this time of year.
Okay.
Well, this year, a wise bureaucrat decided that we were going to have to record every single phone call with every Medicare client, incoming and outgoing. And if I have to use the third party, I have to put you on hold. I have to call an 800 number. I have to wait for them to verify who I am. And then I have to put you back on the phone to get them to record it.
Okay.
And
which
I was trying,
a lot of work.
Yeah, I was trying to do it on my phone, and I used ACR, I used Cube. ACR wouldn't record anything at all on my phone, and Cube recorded me, but it wouldn't record the person on the other end. And then I used the one that where it spells out automatic call recorder.
Well, okay, well, here, let's talk about what works, because you tried all that. That doesn't work, right? So
yeah.
We're just going to cut to the chase and not relive all of your horror, because that's so frustrating, isn't it, when you go from this to this, and you read the reviews. But here's what they have. Here's what is available now technologically, is that you have earbuds, right, that are connected via a cord. I'm sure you've seen those. Now, imagine there are earbuds connected with a cord, but there's a little case at the bottom of it, and that's the recorder. So it records anything that's in your ears, and it works via Bluetooth. And so it has little buttons on it, and they're not expensive. They're like $50.
Cool.
I'm going to send you a link to them, and it actually does work. There are some videos on this Amazon homepage or on this Amazon page that we're going to send you. If you scroll to the bottom, is that there's some videos. The guy doesn't speak perfect English, just to forewarn you, but he kind of goes through and he walks you through on how actually you can use it. But it's as simple as just putting in some earbuds and then pushing a button on this like little case that's connected to the earbuds, hit record, and it connects again to your phone via Bluetooth, priced about $50. So, Rodney, I put you on hold. We're going to send you a link to this product. And for everybody else, this is really innovative tech, really, to kind of solve a problem over at Commando.com, inside the Commando community. That's Commando.com/community. And just remember, like, it's not legal to record both sides of a conversation in all states. So you just want to make sure that you're in compliance with the law if you use this type of device. So I was in Miami a couple of weeks ago just to have my eyes checked and good things like that. And I'm always weary, like, who's coming in my hotel room? So what I do is I leave my laptop probably on the desk and I tilt it towards. Then there's a website called critter.camera. And if you go to critter.camera, it actually turns your laptop into a webcam recording device so you can see actually who's coming in and out of the room. Just go to the website, open up your laptop, go to critter.camera. Hey, thanks for listening to Kim Commando today. So reach over and give me a nice 5-star review. Yes, thank you. And thanks for listening.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.